my name is Matt. I'm not going to put the camera on myself, but I've been the audio guy here for the foundation all weekend long. And I have one small question, or two small questions. One, who are you, and two, how did you get here? Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Micah, from Springville, Utah. You can look me up on the web at Postmormon under Mike Utah or on exmormononline.net. How did I get here? Well, you can read my story, but for the long version. But the short version is aliens brought me out of the church, and that is the honest truth. I seriously fell into believing in aliens and that they were the true nature of our origins and that they're going to come back someday. So that's what got me started. I didn't read anything that was considered anti-Mormon or anti-doctrine or anything. I read my scriptures and prayed one morning.
10 seconds, Micah.
And then the night I came home from work and told my wife I'm leaving the church and I'm going to go buy new underwear.
Okay. Thank you, Micah. Micah, everybody give him a big round of applause online. Bye. All right. So next up, I don't know who's next up. This is a radio show where we have two simple and laughable questions. One, who are you? And two, how did you get here? So who's up next? Anybody? Right now we've got 30. Come on. It's pointless. All right. Come on. Here you go. There's your mic. All right. So this is Red. Hey, okay. They're saying good audio, so apparently we're working fine.
All right.
I have two simple and laughable questions for you. One, who are you? Two, how did you get here?
My name is Chris Zabriskie, and I took a plane from Orlando, Florida. Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for the church?
You know, your call. You could say I took a taxi if you want.
I don't know. I left about almost 4 years ago now, and it was having my son, who's now 4, and having to know if, you know, I was always very devout, but I really had to know if what I was going to be teaching him was right, and going to the temple for the first time, which scared the shit out of me, pardon my language. But, it's not hard. Once you start researching, it's not hard to lead you down that path. So that's how I got here. Keep it real. All right.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. Really appreciate your help. All right. So this is the, once again, the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show. My name is Matt. I'm here hosting this today. And we are asking two simple and laughable questions. One, who are you? And two, how did you get here? And I think I'm going to hand the mic to this man over here, flick the switch on, and please have a seat in the couch. Sit in the hot seat. All right.
Hello.
There you go. Perfect. Look in the camera. So, two questions for you. One, who are you? And two, how did you get here?
My name is Jerome Smith, and I drove here. That's probably not what you were looking for, right?
Totally your call. And I can barely hear you because it's so noisy out here anyway. So you're performing for these guys.
All right. Well,
we've gotten 4 more people on here since we started doing this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my name is Jerome Smith. I'm a board member for the Ex-Mormon Foundation. And I got here by reading, mostly. I was born and raised in the church, and I had a tortured experience with the church. I did serve a mission faithfully, but had problems complying, I would say, with the church's moral requirements. Let's
go
that way.
We hear you. Preach on, brother.
Yeah. I jerked off a lot. And that wasn't really the reason I left. Yeah, there you go. Thanks. That gives me something to look at.
Besides
focal
point. You can look at me.
Yes. Thank you.
Come in here and be like this.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. So, Jerem, tell me more.
For me, the thing that did it was the Book of Abraham. That was what started it.
Abe's book. Go on.
Abe's book. No, the Book of Abraham.
It's not Abe's book. Wait, tell me more.
I was born in 1970, and I didn't know until fairly recently that the papyrus that are supposed to be the source material for the Book of Abraham were discovered in 1967. So I grew up in the church my whole life, went to, you know, Sunday school, served a mission, all that kind of stuff. And my parents were, you know, active in the church and all that kind of stuff. And I was shocked that the papyrus had been discovered, that it was known and admitted by Mormon and non-Mormon scholars alike.
You mean, unlike the golden plates, the papyrus still exists?
In the case of the Book of Abraham, yes.
Wow. There you have it, folks.
They were believed to have been lost in a fire and were rediscovered in a museum in Chicago or something.
Okay,
along
so
those lines.
Just really briefly, I mean, why are you here today?
I came to the conference because I wanted to listen to the morning speaker and the evening speaker, and I enjoy the fellowship of other meeting other individuals who have transitioned out of Mormonism. It's difficult for some. And
10 seconds.
I'm done.
All right. Thank you, Jerem. All right, folks. So this is Matt in the seat. That was Jerem. And next up, we're going to have somebody else. Who's next? All right. We have one more in the hot seat. You know, it is live and on, and they're hearing all kinds of microphone noise booming around. Jerem, when I come over here and sit over here like this, am I in the frame?
Barely.
Okay, well, close enough. So all right. I have two questions for you. One, who are you? And two, why are you here?
My name is Craig Burrows, and I was pretty much grew up in the church since I was 9 years old. And so I've been a member for about 40 years. And I was watching PBS one evening, and they were doing an expose on the Masons. And I was seeing things that I thought should not be, because they were so similar to exactly what I saw and did in the temple. And so I had to research for myself if there really was a connection between Masonry going all the way back to the Temple of Solomon. And throughout all my research, no matter who I talked to, what books I read, I found out that that was just simply not the case. And that started me on a journey, researching all kinds of information. And the reason I came here this evening was, number one, to talk to other people who have come to these same conclusions that I have. And it's very comforting to know that you're not alone in the universe when you realize that the church is not as true and its foundational pillars kind of fall to dust the deeper you look. And that should not be according to the church. That should not be. The deeper you look, the more truthful it should become. And I found
30 seconds.
This the opposite. So I came here tonight to meet people. There are authors here tonight who have written some fantastic books, very thoughtful, innovative, very well researched. And I had to come and meet these authors and say hello and tell them thank you. And that's why I'm here.
Awesome. Thank you, Craig. That's Craig Burrows. He came here tonight, and he was willing to answer the two questions. So this is Matt once again with the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show on the hunt for more people willing to answer questions. And I think it looks like we have another man here who's willing and eligible. Come on down and sit in the hot seat. So, I mean, I know you, and you know me. So the question is, who are you, and why are you here?
I'm Jonathan Higbee, and I'm here because, well, primarily because around 92, 93, I decided, fundamentally that the interviews that Mormon bishops give to adolescents is kind of a bogus idea, and not really that useful thing. And so once I decided that that was a bogus thing, it allowed me to have essentially look at the other things that were wrong with that I had kind of sort of had doubts about but kind of pushed it to the side. But then once I decided once again that the bishop interviews were a bad thing, that allowed me to, you know, look at the other stuff. And I was going to Weber State at the time and taking physics courses. And the stuff I was learning in physics courses was a lot more enlightening than anything I had learned in Mormonism. And so, anyway, but there's lots of other stuff. But I think the main reason that I and other people come here is to get a sense of camaraderie and socialization with people who have a similar life path. And so, so that's my story.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Hey, everybody watching online, that was Jonathan Higbee, and he told us who he is and how he got here. I think I've altered the questions. Sometimes I'm asking how you got here. Sometimes I'm asking who, why are you here? So I'm going to ask you, who are you and how did you get here?
I was just in the lobby, and the opportunity to be on TV is just like, I can't pass it up. So
you do realize this is an audience of like 30, right? It's not real TV.
Oh, well, what's the question then?
So the question is, who are you, and how did you get here?
I am one in a million, and my name's Perry, and I got here. Define here. I think it was like a sperm and an egg, and then it split, and then the next thing you know, it just kept growing, and that's how I got here.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your answer, Perry, and that was by far the most honest and least long answer we've gotten all night. All right, so our faithful we've gone back up to 33 listeners. You know, we could have. I think Richard Packham's done a lot of talking, but I see him standing here in the lobby, and I feel I have to ask him those two important questions. Can you sit in the hot seat, and who are you, and how did you get here today?
Well, my name is Richard Packham. I got here on Delta Airlines because I had a ticket on the airlines, and I wanted to come to this convention. And the reason I wanted to come to the convention was I can't stay away. There are so many wonderful people that come to these things and tell their stories, and they are mostly joyous stories that help us remember how fortunate we are not to be stuck in this religion anymore.
You know, we have a non-religious question that just came in over the chat room. I've got to say, a fellow here by the name of Numlock just asked, what about your sourdough recipes?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a sourdough baker. That is, the sourdough doesn't apply to me, but it's the product that I make. I bake bread using sourdough as a starter. And it's on my website.
And the website is
Packham, PACKHAM .n4m.
That's like Nancy, number four, and then Martha?
Well, no. It's like Nebraska 4 and Michigan.
Ah, okay.
.org.
Uh-huh.
And sourdough. And instructions there for how to make a starter from flour and water, and recipes how to make all kinds of things from bread to hamburger buns to pizza.
You make hamburger buns with sourdough.
Oh, yes.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, it's a marvelous thing. And kneading the dough, I don't use a bread machine, but kneading the dough gives you a chance to work out your aggressions against all the things that you do not like in life.
That's excellent. Well, hey, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes, Richard.
Thank you.
All right, that was Richard Packham, and he was here tonight to tell us who he is and how he got here. All right, so now this is Matt. I'm going to answer my own question. Who am I? I'm the guy that does the audio for the foundation, and unfortunately, I don't plan on doing it after this year, although I've done it for the last 5 years. As a matter of fact, if you hear any of the audio archives for the foundation, that's me that did it. Basic reason comes down to establishing good boundaries, and truth of the matter is I'm pretty much recovered. I'm here out of a sense of gratitude because the people here at this conference taught me that it was better to be a live apostate than a dead priesthood holder. And that's what I got to say about that. So I'm going to go on the hunt for more people who are willing to answer the two big questions. I'll be right back. Hopefully you'll hear me. Maybe you'll hear static. Hey, are you willing to answer two questions?
Two questions, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely? Okay. All right. So I'm your host, Matt Barnson, with the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show. And here we have yet another guest ready to answer the two questions, which are, who are you and how did you get here?
Okay, my first name is Jason, otherwise known as Dr. Shades on the Internet. And how I got here is because I drove up from my house.
Right on. Well, hey, thanks. That was perfect.
Why, thank you very much.
Did you want to expound on that or call it good?
Oh, sure. Chances are you mean how did I get here as in like my ex-Mormon journey?
I don't have any expectations. It's
no
all
expectations?
You.
Okay. Well,
you could say a taxi.
Okay. Well, anyways, one of the reasons that I came up here today is that although I had other obligations last night and this afternoon, I wanted to come up here for the social hour because having been on the online community, online ex-Mormon community, message boards, and so forth for so long, and having attended a couple of ex-Mormon foundation conferences in the past, I know a lot of people, so I just wanted to come and mix and mingle and catch up with folks that I haven't seen in a long time.
Right on. I noticed you're not wearing a tag, so does that mean you're a party crasher, huh?
I am a party crasher, but I am fully prepared to pay the $10 to get into the hospitality bar.
Ah, right.
Like, it's like we're fully allowed to do according to the schedule.
Absolutely. That sounds great.
So, yeah, and once again, first off, I'm the webmaster of www.mormondiscussions.com. So it's a debate site for Mormons and ex-Mormons and anybody in between to get on and talk about Mormonism, debate Mormonism, discuss Mormonism. There's no agenda. Anything goes.
You know, I'm going to hold you here for just an extra second in the hot seat. I hope you don't mind.
I don't mind one bit.
It's kind of the warm seat at this point, not hot yet, because we haven't had any really hot tushies in it, sad to say.
Good enough.
Got to ask you, though, Doc Shades, running Mormon discussions, if I understand correctly, you guys pretty much consider yourself the foil to the FAIR boards. I've heard about these things. Can you expound more on what your relationship is with the FAIR LDS and the exmormon.org boards? RFM?
Okay, that is really funny that you should say that, because, I mean, the fact that you mentioned FAIR, I mean, nothing could be more relevant to this discussion, because my message board is made up of a lot of people that were banned or otherwise exiled from the FAIR boards.
So yours is a refuge of sorts.
Yes, it is a refuge. It is a safe haven where nobody gets banned. Nobody gets their comments censored unless it contains swearing or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Okay, so
nobody,
the seven deadly words will get you banned?
Well, not banned. Let's get the word crossed out and maybe bumped down. See, Mormon Discussions, it has what's called it's like a four-tier system. There's a celestial forum, terrestrial forum, telestial forum, and then outer darkness. So if you if your discussion is scholarly, if it's polite, if it's respectful, then it'll belong in the celestial forum. If it's just average, ordinary, just shooting the breeze, terrestrial. But if it contains personal attacks, flaming, swearing, venting, R-rated subject matter, then it'll go to the telestial forum. So it'll get reshuffled, yes, but it won't get deleted, and you will not get banned, censored, you know, well, more or less not censored.
So
if
I were to put, say, one of the seven deadly words into the celestial forum, it would pretty quickly find itself in the telestial forum.
No, not quickly, because I've got the word censor in place that automatically cuts out, you know, the F word, the S word, you know, the many variants thereof. And
we do
try
to keep the post-game show clean, so I appreciate you not actually saying what those are.
I was in the military and that kind of thing, so I've heard those kind of words all the time, and it's like, you know, those just get really old after a while. I avoid them.
You know, if you were to give me an answer right now as to why I've allowed you to wax rhapsodic for so much longer than so many other guests I've had here tonight, what would that one reason be?
Chances are you've heard of the FAIR boards, and you've probably heard of Mormon Discussions. Now, that's what I would say, because that was your next question, was the Mormon Discussions, and then you brought up FAIR. Now, besides my message board being popular by a lot of people who've been banned from FAIR, the FAIR boards, I may as well tell you, they hate my guts.
You seem like a perfectly likable man, although that shaved head is a bit off-putting.
It could be, but, you know, male pattern baldness set in, and so I had to do the right thing.
Deal with it one way or another,
off,
I know, understand.
It was sad, but it had to be done. Anyways, they hate my guts because the FAIR boards take pride upon being able to censor or people, silence people, delete their comments, ban people, you know, whatever the case may be, lock topics when things aren't going their way, and so forth. But on my board, Mormon Discussions, we allow what's called cross-posting, to where you can cut and paste comments on other boards and port them over and just continue the discussion.
That won't get you kicked off or banned or anything?
That's the only board that I know of that allows cross-posting. So if somebody gets banned or a thread gets closed on FAIR, well, they get to come over to Mormon Discussions and continue. Which makes FAIR hate my guts because they cannot control the discussion anymore. They cannot stop a topic from being discussed.
Well, right on. Thank you, Doc Shades from MormonDiscussions.com, right?
That is correct.
All right. I appreciate your time. And thanks for answering the two questions on the ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show.
All right. Thanks. Talk later.
All right. And it looks like we actually have a queue forming up here of people who are willing to talk to us and answer the two great questions of the day, which are, one, who are you? And two, how did you get here?
Hi, my name is Eric Anderson, and I'm here because my wife and I are finally here together.
I actually couldn't hear that.
My wife and I are finally here together, and
You're actually on. There's no amplification. You're just talking to the universe right now.
Hello, universe.
That's my only problem is I have trouble hearing you because it's so noisy out here.
Sorry about that. So, yeah, my wife and I are here together. We actually resigned from the LDS Church in July on Independence Day. And
the both of you?
The both of us.
Together?
Yes. I started this a few years ago, and it's been a very long journey, and we had some really rough times, but we made it through, and we're together.
You know, Eric, you are attractive and charismatic, but we have some complaints from our online viewership that we aren't actually seeing your wife on camera. Is there a reason for this right now?
Well, that's because she's sitting over there.
Okay,
she's
so
welcome
why don't you
to
budge in, get in the webcam together, and let's have our first female show up on the show. There we go. So now you got to answer the question since you're on camera. Who are you and how did you get here?
Hi, thanks for asking. I was here queuing him in, but my name is Shauna Lee Anderson, and we live in Springville, Utah, and we are excited to be here. And to be brief, I guess, for any of you who might have a spouse who you think could never, 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 never come around to see things your way, don't give up hope, because I was the most devout person that I've ever met. I was going to the temple every single week. I actually chose to homeschool our kids so that they wouldn't be corrupted by the world. And I'm a returned missionary. What else was kind of evidence of my zeal?
Well, you know, there's...
we actually had our children enrolled in a private LDS elementary school so that they would not be exposed.
So just one step shy of homeschooling them.
Well, that was after homeschool.
Homeschooling came late.
Oh, so you actually were a homeschooling LDS devout TBM church-going every Sunday mom.
Yes, and then we migrated from homeschooling then to having our children in a LDS-only, LDS-based private elementary school so that they could only learn, you know, true stuff.
So, Shauna Lee, there's actually two specific questions for you coming from the online chat room right now. The first question was, how did you take it all, I would say initially and recently? And then the second question is, how many kids?
So, or do you want to answer that question?
Well, I can answer it. How did she take it all? Initially, very badly. Things were not good at all. And things were very hard. I despaired of any hope. I was sure that our marriage would not survive.
I loved my husband, and I didn't think that God wanted me to divorce him over this. But I did give him an ultimatum at one point, and I said, if you lose Jesus, there will be nothing left to our marriage.
So the Jesus was
Jesus
the
for me
line.
Was the line. And, but what was the other second question?
The other second question was how many kids?
Okay. Yeah. 4 kids, ages 12 to 5.
All right. We're actually developing a cue, so 30 seconds.
Yes. So anyway, so don't despair if your spouse isn't there yet. Be very patient. What helped me was that when Eric stopped trying to convince me and decided to just love me, then I could slowly let my defenses down. And then over a 2-year process, we could just talk about religion in general. We could talk about purpose of life. We could talk about plan of salvation. But the fact that he introduced me to a lot of the problems of the priesthood restoration problems, to Joseph's polyandry and whatnot, those had time to work on me. And so eventually I could conclude that, yeah, I don't believe this anymore.
So the comments from online want to let you know that this is excellent, Eric. Fascinating. Congratulations for hanging in there.
Thank you.
I love this. You two are just so inspiring. He loved her most of all. I'm going to give you 30 more seconds. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I love her too. She's really hot. It's been a wonderful process, and really this has been a dream come true. I had no hope that she would ever come around to seeing things. After I lost my belief, after it all crumbled down as I read, I had no hope, none, that she would ever see things my way, and here we are. So
what I would recommend for any of you who are having a struggle with your spouse, again, Don't try to convince them anymore. Love them. Remind them why you married each other. You know, remind that person of all the things you love about them. Remind them about your courtship. Tell them it's worth it to work on this marriage. And then if you can expose them shortly here and there to things in the church, then they're going to have time to let it saturate for a while. It takes time.
It's keep the communication open. We would talk. I would go to church, and we would talk.
10 seconds.
And I didn't believe it, but we would talk. And as we kept talking, eventually there was space.
Awesome. You guys are the kind of guys I love interviewing.
Yay.
Because I've wanted to do this for 5 years and have a couple on here that's making it work. And thanks for being willing to show
right,
up, guys. I appreciate
that.
And we have more people waiting for the hot seat, waiting to answer the two great questions of the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show. And this show is, the questions are, who are you and how did you get here? Answer however you like. You're on.
I'm Jean Bodie from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. How did I get here? I flew on a plane.
You flew on a plane?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we done? Something tells me you have more to say than that, though. Really?
What would make you think that?
Truth be told, hang on, I'm going to come over on this side of the camera. I want to share that we have spoken before, and
yeah.
She has gone on at extremely great length regarding her history. So I want, thank you so much. I want a more detailed answer from you. How did you get here?
Okay. All right. I got here because I went on a mission to South Africa and had a road accident the second day, and it started to break down my belief system because I was treated like crap by the church. And I hurt so badly, and God wasn't helping me, and I was saying, why did you send me on a mission and then let me be injured so badly that I can't do the job? And so my relationship with God started to suffer, and I started to gradually break down. And I saw leadership in South Africa with a bad attitude towards black people, and
by a bad attitude towards black people, a bad attitude towards black people. Can you describe what it is you mean? I mean, there are bad attitudes. I see them in my kids when I tell them to go to bed. What do you mean?
Okay, what I mean is AIDS is the answer to our problem in South Africa, out of the mouth of a church leader. How does that sound? Lots and lots of unemployment and crime by very, very poor black people. And AIDS is the answer to that because it'll kill them off and then they won't need the jobs and they won't be robbing people.
Now, are you saying this was an attitude just of the white people in South Africa or of white Mormons in South Africa?
This was white Mormons. But I saw some prejudice in South Africa from white people in the church and out of the church. And I saw kindness and love from people in the church and out of the church. It's not a complete hatred. But in the church, I saw that. And there was also another man who was a branch president, and he stood and he gave a sermon about how beautiful his family was and how nobody in the congregation was worthy to go to the temple. And he said, people stop me and tell me how beautiful my family is because we're worthy to go to the temple.
Really?
And I reported him to the state president because I was so upset about it and because he had physically offered to come and do me.
Really?
Because we'd had a disagreement. It was him that was mad about something. So I reported him to the state president, and they said, we know we have a problem there. We know we have a problem with this man, and we're fasting and praying about it on Thursday before our state meeting. And on Sunday, I didn't go to that ward because of his threat. I went somewhere else.
So by do me, you meant as in kill you, not as in do you?
Yes.
Ah, okay, sorry. A little bit of American vernacular difference there. I was thinking,
yeah.
How on earth is that a threat that he wants to come over and bang you? Yeah,
yeah,
that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Anyway, so the church leaders in the stake acknowledged that there was a problem. They were fasting and pray about it. I didn't go to church that Sunday there, but when I did go back again, I found out that he'd been sustained again. And all the poor little sheeple in his branch who were so maligned by him and hated by him put their hands up and sustained him because they are just too scared to do otherwise.
Well, Gene, you've got one question from online. Numlock asks, did the church fail you after your accident?
Very much so.
So in what way did they fail you after your accident?
Okay, we were brand new in the country, as I say. It was the second day, and we were in the hospital. We had lots of injuries. My husband's neck was broken, and they didn't ask us. They didn't sit down and have a meeting and say, what's best for you, Elder and Sister Bodhi? What will be best for you? I just said, are you going to send us home? And he said, heck no. We need you to stay. We need you to learn your duties because the other couple has to go home. And then I phoned the area office for legal advice because they have a lawyer there. And they said, I'm sorry, we can't provide you with any legal advice. And then I asked first for a maid to come in, the mission home maid, if she could come over for a couple of hours to do the heavy work because I had a cast on both arms and my collarbone was broken.
Wait, and you could still do light work?
I could work in the office. It wasn't so light, believe me.
Holy
it
cow.
It wasn't light.
So 30 seconds, Gene. If you would have any advice for someone out here watching this, either live tonight or on rebroadcast in the future, what would your advice be for that anonymous person watching on the net?
Don't believe everything that the LDS Church tells you. If you're a member and they tell you that couple missions are wonderful and all of that stuff, if they tell you that kind of thing, God doesn't protect you because you're out on a mission, and the church doesn't protect you either.
Well, thank you, Gene. I really appreciate your time. Folks, that was Gene Bodhi answering the two big questions of the night. Who are you and how did you get here? So we're here with the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show, and I see a wonderful person who sure looks like she wants to take a few minutes and answer that question for me. But, you know, I've already talked to Gene, actually. Okay, I understand. I will not force her if she doesn't want it. So are you waiting to have a chance in the hot seat? Now, realize, of course, this is being broadcast through the whole world. It's going to sit on the net forever. Disclaimer. All right. So the question of the day is, who are you and how did you get here? You know, why don't you just lean back against the chair and you'll be perfect. Awesome. So who are you and how did you get here? Okay. Is he here tonight? Oh, right on. So Micah's your husband. I'm surprised that, you know, someone who looks so nice could marry someone who doesn't. Running joke. Never mind. Go on, please. Uh-huh. So that is kind of how you got here tonight, then. I'm sorry, the chemistry's not hitting it for me tonight. So how long from when he left to when you left?
And we'll
be out from the end of the year. Around a month after he decided he was done with the church was when you said, okay, I'm done too. Now, how long have you two been married? And how did you meet each other? Okay, now, Micah, I want to actually ask you back. Why don't the two of you snuggle here on the couch for just a second, because I love this part, if I can get the two of you together to answer a couple of questions. So, guys, you're all seeing a repeat. Oh, mic check needed? Is your mic working? Here, you guys take that one. Yours was turned off. That would explain why. So most of that answer didn't happen. So the questions I was asking was, how long after Micah left did you leave Jennifer? And you had said about 30 days. So obviously, the two of you are here tonight, and you met at church. How has leaving the church, when you met at church, affected the foundation of your relationship?
I don't know if I understand the question.
Well, it's...
I thought she would know.
When I married Micah, I married him for love, not because he was Mormon.
Uh-huh.
I mean, religion was important to me, but it wasn't the main reason why I had married him.
So, you know, I'm sensing a bit of a common thread, though. It seems like people here, the ones who have successful marriages after one or both of them leave the church, boils down to them getting married for reasons not explicitly related to the church. Okay, so I'm just going to ask you the personal question then. why'd you marry Micah?
Because I loved him.
Okay, and Micah, why'd you marry her? Longer than you loved her. What?
Just because I loved her as well. I mean, we had a longer engagement than the typical Mormon engagement.
Okay, and how long was it?
6.5 months, which I know isn't long for outside of Utah, but that's longer for Utah.
Mine was less than 4 weeks, although we had been seeing each other for 3 years.
Okay,
so that's
that makes more sense. But yeah, so we talked a lot through our engagement, because what else can you do when you can't like do premarital and all that yummy
so
stuff?
Okay, just to clarify, you guys then lived righteously prior to marriage. Were you married in the temple?
Yes.
Yeah.
Married. Okay, so temple marriage, and yet here you are today. Now, obviously, Mike, a big part of this, I'm sure, was you introducing your wife to some of the things that you had learned. Or am I incorrect in that?
No, that's correct.
So what was the catalyst? What was that straw that caused you to first start questioning?
Well, like I said when I was on here earlier.
Go ahead. We weren't actually saving the recording at that point, so it's not archived for posterity.
Okay, well, you can see my full long version of the story on Post-Mormon. But the short version is I got into conspiracy theories, and then that led to me getting all depressed about that stuff because it's pretty depressing. And then I got into alien stuff, and that got me thinking outside the box of Mormonism. And so I kind of deconverted myself from Mormonism unknowingly to believing that more universal kind of stuff when aliens, which kind
of
weird.
You know, given the focus of the conference, I don't think I want to explore those other topics. But Jennifer, I mean, so speaking as the true blue Mormon, okay, prior to his deconversion, what was your initial reaction to discovering that he no longer felt enfranchised with the LDS community? Right at the mouth. There we
sorry.
Go.
I was actually okay with it.
There's room on this chair.
There isn't, and that's why I like it, because it forces you to get snuggly.
I was okay with him leaving. I respected him enough that if that was something he wanted to do with his life, I wasn't going to force him to stay Mormon. All I asked in return was that he respected that I wanted to stay Mormon.
And did he?
And then... he wanted me to look at stuff, and I didn't have a problem with that.
So fair enough. So how... obviously you're 1 month after him. How long have you been out of the church now, as of tonight?
Like a year and a half. Maybe a little less than
that. Less, yeah.
Okay, and is this your first XMO convention?
Second.
This is your second. So the two of you were here last year.
Yeah.
You know, I find myself wishing I had done this last year. So you have 30 seconds. If you would have anything to say to any listener listening tonight, live, or listening in the future, because this is going to be archived for years, what would your advice be to that person who's listening?
Thoughts?
Never stop questioning, and the truth doesn't need an apology.
And yours?
Yeah, I would say never be afraid to question people or question things. If something is true, the evidence will support it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you being here on the X-Mormon Foundation post-game show, where we're asking two questions and apparently a few more. Who are you and how did you get here? Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate that, Jennifer and Micah. All right, so faithful listeners on here, I'm actually on the prowl looking for other people, and we have a nice smiling man here next door. I'm wondering, are you interested in answering the two questions? Not right now? Okay, I understand. So this is the beauty of wireless microphones is I can now go over to the hospitality suite, and I can go on the hunt for people who are willing to answer the two questions. So, guys, I apologize. The hot seat's just going to sit here because my webcam does not travel very well. I'll be back. All right, so I'm coming up on the hospitality suite. You might hear a little bit of static because the range is just not fantastic. We've got some tunes going. We've got a zillion people in here, and it is noisier than heck in this place. So the request was for more females to answer the question, so I'm going to come over here and sit at a table and see if there's a volunteer. All right. So hi, guys. So we actually have a hot seat. The next thing over. And one of the requests from people watching the hot seat live, about 40 people watching right now, is they said there are too many dudes and there are not enough chicks. So, and that's okay. We've had a number of couples come up, and what I wanted to do is, I am wondering, can I pull you two? No. Actually, I want to have the two of you a moment. I know that it's a small couch and you're a tall guy.
All right.
But I'd like, can I pull you two guys over there? Awesome. All right, I got two volunteers. Pulled them out of the hospitality suite to come yak with me. We're on our way back right now. Oh, pardon me. What's that? Yeah, this is what we're doing right here in the hot seat. I know it's a little bit ridiculous, but we still have 40 people watching the show who are throwing questions out and saying, hey, it's Exmos After Dark. So, here we go. We're back. All right, guys.
No, I'm sitting in the seat.
You're making me. All right, why don't you go ahead and lean back against the hot seat? Here is your microphone, and you can get started. Now, can you both fit in there? Oh, there, the laps. Yeah, that looks like. All right, guys. I'm going to get you in here. Yeah, it's only about 10 frames a second because, hey, welcome to the wild, wonderful world of web video.
Here we go. This is like an auto action.
So.
All
right, guys. Here is my question for you. The two questions we're asking tonight are, I got to back up. The questions are, who are you and how did you get here? So, you're on.
Isn't that the question we all ask ourselves? Who am I?
You're not alone. Say it one more time. I'm not alone. Okay, no. Who are you and why are you here? Or how did you get here?
Melanie Spute.
I'm Chad Spute,
the reprobate of the group.
I got here in my car.
You know, that's been a very common theme tonight, actually, is people taking vehicles.
Yes,
to ride.
Yes, well.
Richard Packham arrived here by plane, apparently, with a ticket paid for him.
Yes, we love it.
Very good.
All right, so what do they want to know from us?
Well, that's a great question. WPA says, who am I? I am hot and have a nice rack.
Yes, he does.
And,
yes, thank you, Debbie.
Vicky Sunshine says, hey, Chad. Numlock One says, the spirit has told me that she is not wearing her garmies.
No.
So,
no.
Yes. So my question I've got for you, and obviously you guys have been in a documentary, and there's a bit of a position thing involved here for who you are. So, Chad, why don't you go ahead and say who you are and why you are here?
My name is Hector Berlioz. No, I'm Chad Spute. I'm the ex-Mormon Foundation president. So if you've been listening, this is this ugly voice you've been hearing. It's me. So, yeah, now you see the face. That's me. And that's why I'm here for the free drinks and the scantily clad chicks. That's why everyone comes to ex-Mormon Foundation conferences. Don't let anyone fool you. That is the reason why. Who cares about who wrote the goddamn Book of Mormon? We all know it's a fraud. We want to see tits. That's why we're here.
So,
my degenerate husband.
Yet so much fun. He was the guy who told me the, if I recall correctly, the thick and veiny joke. last year, dinner. Anyway.
I think I want to know.
Okay, so Melanie, if I understand correctly, the two of you left the church at somewhat close times. Who went first, and how did that affect the other?
Chad went first, and it devastated me for about 2 months.
About 2 months,
yeah.
She was a pushover.
I was. Well, actually.
Well, she'd been holding to the iron rod so long.
You know what? I'm just going to give you guys the microphones.
All right. She'd been holding the iron rod so long that when I was out of the picture, she didn't know where to grasp. And so that's where she was with Chino. It was an easy leave. Church security is loving these. They're recording this right now. It's going in my file.
So you guys, if you had any advice to offer to people watching out there right now, one at a time, no interruptions, looking at you.
All right, I'm being quiet.
One at a time, what would your advice be to someone watching this tonight live, or because it's going to be archived on the internet forever, 10 years from now?
Great. my advice. Well, When Chad left, I was devastated. But the thing that made me want to listen to what he had to say about why the church wasn't true is the way that he treated me. And he was apologizing.
Daily beatings.
Stop it. He was apologizing for not that he ever treated me badly before, but apologizing for that patriarchal priesthood attitude towards women. and he wasn't that guilty of it. But I could see in him a change that he was becoming a better person, which, you know, that just did not make sense. If he left the church, he must be becoming even more degenerate than he was, which he is now. But anyway.
I've always been a degenerate. Now I'm openly a degenerate.
Yeah, now he just admits it freely. But that's, I would look at the person that's going through the experience and judge them by their actions. Judge them by their heart instead of maybe, it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's the church's fault. So
all right.
That's my opinion.
Okay, Chad, same question. You had a few moments to address any person as to, you know, what your advice would be if they're watching this. What would your advice be?
All right, so if you're making your way out of the church and you're the one investigating and your spouse doesn't know it, I say you should start talking with them right away that you're having doubts and questions, instead of taking 10 years and then surprising them one afternoon or one morning and going, hello, you know, the church is not true, or I'm really having some serious doubts and here's all the information. Kind of gradually, I mean, we would talk about tithing. I kind of set her up a little bit on the way, the doubts that I would have, problems that I would have. We would discuss them, and that, I think, is what enabled her to get out of the church faster, because for about 2 years before I left, I was expressing some of those doubts, but I still should have taken a little bit more time instead of avalanching her all at one time with most of the information. So that's what I would suggest.
Okay, so there's actually a comment and a question from the people online. The first comment is, Chad, thank you for doing the job, and thank you for paying Matt.
Yeah, do you get? I hope you got paid.
No. Wouldn't I like it if it was? And as a matter of fact, you know, we do have the numbers have actually gone up since we closed out the meeting just now. We now have 39 people listening. The second thing is, no, I'm not going to ask you, have you seen any titties?
Unfortunately, no.
You know, Numlock has really come in with a couple of zingers that really worked well. So this is for Melanie. Melanie, do you feel that Chad leaving the church has made him a better husband?
Absolutely.
Short and sweet. There we go. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you showing up on the Ex Mormon Foundation post-game show. I want to remind you that this is not sponsored in whole or in part by the Ex Mormon Foundation. This is just Matt B. Chatting away. No, that is not mine at all. So if you guys know any other likely candidates, you know, particularly couples, I'd love to send them over. Awesome. So I'm on the hunt for a few more people, guys. I'm heading over to the hospitality suite once again, where the music is loud and the people are louder. Hey. Okay, we're undercover. I understand. But I'm here standing with a lady. I don't know if I call you an old friend or a new friend or just a friend, but I was wondering, the hot seat is getting cold. Would you be willing to come over with me and be able to share something? All right. And you can't? Okay. So off camera, can you do anything off camera? Okay, fair enough. All right, so I'm bringing a friend who's here with another friend over to the hot seat. Absolutely, and I want to remind you once again, this is not sponsored in whole or in part by the Ex-Mormon Foundation, although it'll end up showing up all over the archives, I'm sure, and live on YouTube forever. But welcome to the hot seat. This is the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show, where we ask you two questions and possibly as many as I want to ask you. And those two questions are, who are you and how did you get here?
Diane Ormus, and I got here because this time, because I'm the corporate treasurer for the foundation board,
This time. I assume that means you've been here before.
Yes, this is my fourth time. I've been on the board for three of those times.
On the board, is that like being on the rag?
It's there's seven of us that manage the foundation.
That sounds much less exciting.
Yeah, that is less exciting, especially the tax part.
Well, so you handle taxes. Now, if I understood correctly, I thought the Ex-Mormon Foundation was a 501c3 organization. What do they have to deal with taxes for?
That's what I wanted to know. When I volunteered to do it, I didn't know I'd include in taxes, or I might not have accepted the assignment. I said, it's a nonprofit foundation. Why are they doing taxes? But everybody files taxes, even if you're nonprofit,
So, okay, I mean, 4 years you're coming to the Ex-Mormon Foundation Conference. How long have you been out of the church?
3 years. I can't
you believe that the conference played a part in you deciding to resign?
No, I waited until my last son went on mission. I resigned. I turned in my letter of resignation the day he left. And so I was just waiting for that deadline. That was...
Oh, we have a problem. This whole time Diane has been talking, her microphone has not been on. I hate it when that happens. I apologize, guys. Okay, so Diane, we're going to start over with the very first two questions again. Who are you and how did you get here?
Okay, I'm Diane Ormond. This is my fourth conference. The first time I came, I was not resigned yet because I was waiting for my last child, my youngest son, to go on a mission. The day he went on his mission, I turned in my resignation letter. So that was the deadline that I was waiting for. My first conference, I was undercover, incognito, had to hide from the cameras, not let anybody know because I hadn't resigned and I didn't want to be outed. I wanted to quit. I didn't want to get X'd. I wanted to not be fired. It was under my control, my timeline. I did it when I wanted to.
So one thing we ex-Mormons are very often accused of is revisionist history. That is, people saying that, hey, the history you remember isn't exactly the way things truly happened. So my question for you is, let's assume that it's true, that we do project our current reality back on everything we experienced. Well, in the revisionist history kind of perspective, what was the very first event that caused you to question, and what was the very last one that resolved you that you needed to resign?
Science was my very first one. My journey started with science, and it's posted online. Anybody wants to Google my name, Diane Ormond, with two N's in Diane, and it started with science. The dissonance with science just increased, and I thought, I've got to find some archaeological evidence. I watched a dozen PBS shows, and there's nothing ever on Mormon archaeology. So I started.
Mormon archaeology, that's right up there with naval intelligence, folks.
That's true. So that's how I started my journey. And science proved the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham not to be true. And then it went from there. I went on a reading binge and everything, all the dominoes started to fall.
And the final thing that convinced you needed to leave?
My kids.
Your kids.
I needed to make a statement for my kids, letting them know that they were raised in a fraud and that I needed to be out, and that it wasn't just a matter of going inactive. It was a matter of, I won't support a fraud. And so that was my defining moment.
So, Diane, there are a number of comments here on the board, the chat room right now saying,
oh,
honey
God.
Bunny, I hate it too. Thank you. Hello, Diane. I love you, Diane. One brave woman. And then we get to the serious questions. The first question was, did your son finish his mission? And how did your missionary son react to the news of your resignation?
I didn't know this was live. I didn't know people were interacting. Okay, cool.
There are 35 people out there listening to you right now,
cool.
And by this time tomorrow, there's probably going to be about 1,200 more.
Well, hello, everybody out there. I mailed him a letter 2 weeks before his mission was over. He finished it completely honorably. Before he came home, I said, before you arrive here, you need to know, because it's a big enough shock when you come home to adjust to regular life. And so while you're stabilized on your mission, while you're stable, you need to know that I've left the church. He had no idea.
Did he even know that you were questioning?
Yeah, I dropped hints before he left. But he didn't know that I resigned when he left. He didn't know that other family members have shifted. He didn't know a sister had resigned. He learned some of those things when he came home. So it was a big transition for him.
Now, so I started this out only really asking, two questions. But it's kind of expanded over the course of the evening as I'm discovering that over and over and over again there are some constant themes. And one of the themes seems to be ex-Mos wanting to reach out to those other people who are questioning or who themselves are in transition out of the church. So for any person who's in that position right now, transitioning or questioning, watching live tonight or possibly watching 10 years in the future, what would your advice be in a minute or less?
There's lots of support groups out there. Online, there's a gazillion websites that interact. You're not alone. That's the theme for post-Mormon. In Utah, there is Calm Community after leaving Mormonism. Email people, ask questions. They'll get you in touch with whatever groups are in your area. There's lots of us, and the movement is expanding and growing. More websites all the time. There's just tons of support out there, but we don't know you're out there if you don't contact us first. You can go to, go ahead.
No, it's okay. You were saying lots of support groups. I appreciate that. I was just going to add a couple more comments here in our last few moments together before I go hunt down the next victim, interview candidate. They are, Numlock 1 said, very intently listening. Shazberg said, doesn't Indiana Jones count as Mormon archaeology?
Yeah, that's just as fictitious, yes.
And they asked actually a couple of serious questions. Is your son still in the church? Is he still active?
Yes and yes. He's only been home a few months. However, I am slowly destroying his testimony.
All right,
but,
good for you.
Nobody knows that.
So the last few comments there, just people want to tell you that you are their goddess. You are beautiful. listening to her, Shaz, lots of support. And thank you so much, Diane, for showing up tonight and answering the two questions of the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right. So, folks, I am on the hunt for a few more people.
Because that's what I do.
So we're wandering around, and I have a lot of guilty looks from various folks. They look as if they really, really do not want me to come talk to them, corner them, or pin them in any way. So I am heading once more in the hospitality suite, where, with any luck, the number of drunk people will dramatically help me be able to find who the next victim, candidate, is going to be. So I am looking for someone with beer in their hands. Oh, wait, here we have one person who's looking at me. I'm not trying to say anything important. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to hunt up candidates for the hot seat, the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show. I was wondering if you'd be willing to answer the two questions. Who are you and how did you get here? Do you want to come to the hot seat? Okay, we have one who's pleading the fifth. I won't tell you what her name badge is because you know what, guys? I tried. I just struck out. All right, next. Looking for more likely candidates. And see, I know I can rely on that one, the curly blonde, to help me out. Nope, she's not buying. I'm having the dickens of a time hunting up the next candidate.
I'm checking for you.
Are you? We're looking for candidates for the hot seat, and I'm recruiting drunk people to help me try to find who the next person is that might be able to help me out. You know, as much as you like it, guys, we might have to go for a dude next. So, all right. Hi, my name's Matt. What's yours?
I'm Michael.
Hi. Nice to meet you. I'm not going to say your name now. I'm running a post-game show over in the hot seat, just the next room over. Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show. It's called Who Are You and How Did You Get Here? Would you be interested in showing up on camera? No, okay. You know, I'm asking the shy people now. I just screwed myself over, alas. You know, it's time for me to go back to old reliable. See, I know a particular person who could just knock it out of the park. Good evening. How you doing? Yeah. Oh, the looks are terrible. So.
I'm already famous.
Do you think you're famous to show up on the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show? Who are you and how'd you get here? Okay. Well, thanks for being willing. She's giving me a hard time. She's already been on. Jean's already been on. Yeah, that's the problem. I think I'm starting to run up against secret people. Oh, yeah, he's going to be tomorrow morning. Yeah. Hey, guys, how you doing tonight? Excellent. So my name is Matt Barnes, and we already met a little bit while ago. But one of the things that I'm doing tonight is running a feature we've never done before, the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show called Who Are You and How Did You Get Here? Would you be interested in coming over and answering just a couple questions for me? All right, they're up. Now, you're actually going to see these same – come on, it's in the next room over. You're actually going to see these same two people here tomorrow morning. So tune in bright and early, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. You're going to see them give a nice presentation. But hopefully we're going to get you a little sample of just a little taste of what's to come tomorrow morning. So if possible, because you're a couple, and that's one of the things that I'm looking for tonight is mostly couples, if you can go ahead and cozy up on the chair, sit in the lap, squeeze in next to each other. That's the hot seat right there. And here's your mic. All right. Thanks for volunteering, guys. The recruiting was hard and heavy in there. Yeah, just sit on down, lean against the back. That's how we're doing the shots tonight. Thanks, guys. Perfect. Hey, and you can see yourself. Excellent. Okay. So my name is Matt Barnson. I'm the audio engineer for the Ex-Mormon Foundation, and I'm doing something tonight that I've wanted to do for 5 years, and that's running an Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show, Who Are You and How Did You Get Here? Random interviews with people that I can get to volunteer out of the hospitality suite. The drunker, the better, but you guys look fairly sober. So my question for you, I'm going to ask you first, the female here on the left, who are you and how did you get here?
Mary Danzig, and I got here by kicking and screaming all the way out of the church.
Really? Okay, that was short and sweet. And next to you, then?
I helped her kick and scream.
Okay, try that one more time in the microphone.
Okay, I'm Peter Danzig, and helped her kick and scream her way out of the church.
Now, I mean, obviously, this sounds like there's more of a backstory there, and I'm certain there are things that you'd love to tell people tomorrow that you know you're not going to have sufficient time to actually be able to tell them. You know, so what I'm interested in now is I want to know how long were you married before one of you left? Who left first, and how long was it between the first leaving and the second leaving? And what effect did that have on your marriage in that transition period?
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. Well, Peter had a change of heart about the church in 2004 when he was in graduate school, and he just couldn't. Too many things weren't adding up for him, and he came and told me that he couldn't believe in the church, and I curled up in a ball in the kitchen in the fetal position and cried hysterically for 3 days. But we eventually kind of found our equilibrium.
That pretty much cemented my status as a New Order Mormon.
A New Order Mormon.
Now, we haven't
discussed this term tonight on the Ex Mormon Foundation post-game show. What is a New Order Mormon?
Oh, who the hell knows that? An ex-Mormon in disguise.
An ex-Mormon in disguise who disguises themselves as Batman? Wonder Woman?
It's somebody who, for whatever reason, is staying without a literal belief that they're supposed to have and maybe fudges a little on those temple recommend interviews about do you support the brethren.
So when you say fudge a little, what you really mean, just to make sure, is lie.
No, you redefine support.
Okay, well, I guess I asked. Describe to me how do you mean redefine support?
Well, there are a lot of. This is complicated. I'm tired.
And it's a tough question, and you don't even look drunk.
You have to do lots of mental gymnastics in order to do this.
Mental gymnastics.
You know, I can support them in certain things, like the moderate amount of humanitarian aid they've managed to muster themselves for. I support that.
So just simply, if I understand correctly, you're saying that you come to an understanding of what it means to support them. It doesn't mean that you necessarily endorse all their decisions, but you can define in your head as saying they have done some good things, and I think that they're probably fine people because of that. Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Fair enough. I'm sorry. I apologize for asking you such, you know, difficult questions. Normally we have a whole lot more laughs and generally talk about breasts, usually beforehand. So your opinion, Peter, breasts up, down, good, bad?
You know, it goes every which way.
Not the bigger, the better, the tighter the sweater, the boys depend on.
You know, everybody has their own opinions. I don't want to make any definitive statements.
So here you are at the Ex-Mormon Foundation Conference, and you two, if I understand correctly, are slated to speak tomorrow morning, so we're going to see a whole lot more of you. I just want to know, what's your reaction been to the whole environment here so far, checking out the talks, the hospitality suite, and, you know, what's your reaction in general?
It's been really delightful to connect. And actually, the first evening, the open mic. Oh, sorry, I'm supposed to look at the camera, huh? The first evening, the open mic, I was just really struck with, why are we presenting? There are so many brave, talented, incredibly courageous people here that I thought, I'm out of my league.
Well, what about you?
I was going to say, we were at part of the Ex-Mormon Conference last year. And
oh, so you guys are return.
We are then. Returning, yeah.
We came to hear Steve Hassan.
So. Yeah, last year. And I was kind of nervous to come. I mean, I had left the church, and I didn't believe in it. And logically, I knew that ex-Mormons were probably just people like me that didn't believe in the church. But all that ingrained teaching of, you know, bitter, angry people that want to destroy everybody's lives kind of lingered. And so I was kind of a little bit nervous to meet so many ex-Mormons because I thought they might all be really crazy and angry, ranting people. But I was delighted to find out that they're crazy like me, and I felt really comfortable.
Now, the ranting part seems interesting to me. I mean, a tough question here because you guys are good at answering tough questions. I have detected quite a bit of ranting. How did that affect you your first year here, noticing that there definitely was negativity? How did that affect your interview?
I really liked the ranting because I could really relate to it, and I'd had a lot of the same feelings of betrayal and hurt and, just betrayal, huge amounts of betrayal. But I felt like it was logical ranting for, you know, it was a logical response to or a logical emotional response to what we've all been through. And so I liked the ranting myself.
So we have a couple of questions specifically for Peter. One was a comment, just a laugh about that a Nom is an ex-Mormon in disguise. They asked, Numlock One asks, are you still active in attending?
Am I still active in attending?
The LDS Church, I would say.
No.
Okay, that's a no. Same thing.
We both have found our own path. I'm a Reconstructionist Jew, and I actually, my father was a Jewish convert to the church, so that was part of my journey out of LDS belief.
Embracing
was,
your racial heritage.
Yeah, and actually, I fall on the agnostic atheist spectrum, too.
So is my best friend Sam. He's a Jew, and he's an atheist.
Yeah, you don't have
so
to believe
dad.
It. You just you find some reward in connecting with the culture. So I think there should be a model like that for Mormonism, actually. That would be helpful.
You know, it's interesting because I've often commented to some of my family that, you know, regardless of what's changed, I'm still Mormon to my bones. It doesn't matter that I am an ex-Mormon. I am still part of the culture, part of the heritage. It's part of who I am. Right. Not really genetically. My mother was a convert, but that was the way I was raised. I show up at work and people think that that is who I am. What was the kind of reaction that you guys experienced from friends upon leaving the church, or was there a reaction?
Well, we went through a really bad experience on our way out of the church.
And you're going to share more about that tomorrow, right?
We're going to share more about
that
tomorrow.
Okay, let's leave that as a teaser and just kind of cover some of the reactions.
But it was such a bad experience that most people we knew, our family and friends, felt really badly about what had happened to us and felt really uncomfortable with how the church had responded to us. And I think that actually made our departure a lot easier in some ways than some people have had. Because people could say, well, they were deeply hurt. And so instead of thinking it was because we just wanted to go drink and strip or I don't know what.
I've been waiting to see you take a drink. At that.
Well, I got to say, I believe there are a whole bunch of people on the web at waiting for her to strip.
Oh, nobody's waiting for that. That would shut this whole thing down really fast. But I think that actually made people more compassionate towards us. Three of my brothers have left the church since then. Well, two officially and one who goes but doesn't really believe. And
we have that Mormon missionary thing still going on.
Deconvert. Like you said, it's in our blood.
And they released us from our callings, and now we've called ourselves to activism. So
we actually have another question from online for Mary. I hope you don't mind the interruption. Yeah. The question for you, there are two. The first question is serious, and the second question is not. The first serious question is, what was the issue that turned you, Mary, from being in a fetal position to leaving?
Well, it was that, and I don't want to ruin the whole story for tomorrow, I guess, because we've got to bring our audience back tomorrow. But basically, it was seeing how my church leaders would treat me and my husband and my children because Peter spoke up with and said what he believed about something, that his honest belief would cause people to act so inhumanely and so hurtfully. It was because for me, what I believed about in the church was this idea of this wonderful man, Jesus, who was nice to everybody and saw the good in everybody. And to see that people could turn on you like that, I realized it wasn't what I signed up for.
Fair enough. I'm going to spare you from some of the more ribald comments, but I will ask, there's a question here for Peter, I believe it touches on a recurring theme with a number of the couples we've had tonight, although it's asked in somewhat crass fashion, and that was, did you dry hump while dating?
You know, we were so Mormon, I don't think we even knew sex existed.
I was so sexually repressed that on my wedding night, I wore a cotton white and blue striped nightgown that came down to here and had a collar.
Okay, so
I think that answers your question right there.
Personal questions that I'm fairly certain you're not going to answer tomorrow. I mean, you're saying you came from a very conservative background. Did you have sex on the wedding night? Or did you just watch TV and eat popcorn?
I'll leave people to just make your own imagination will probably be far better than anything we could describe.
See, something tells me Mary's willing to answer this question honestly, though.
Well, you know, I guess I feel like you should know what the Mormon Church does to people. And I knew so little about sex. I mean, I knew, you know, penis, vagina. I knew that. But what was I supposed to do? I couldn't read anything. I couldn't look at anything. That would be evil. And so didn't really know what to do or how you got from kissing, like President Kimball said, you should kiss your mother, onto other things. So it took a few days.
Sorry, I'm just imagining you kissing him like President Kimball.
So I don't know if Peter likes it, but that I'm so honest here. But I think people need to know that, like, women in the church are raised to be so sexually repressed that our husbands are not possibly going to be satisfied on their wedding nights in general.
Okay, so, I mean, as a word of advice, because you seem obviously the one who is a little bit more willing to be open about somewhat intimate feelings, and I apologize for how probing these questions are, but once again, I don't think you're going to cover these tomorrow. So
it's unlikely. It's very unlikely.
He's going to have a talk with me tonight.
There's a question and answer period tomorrow.
Long-term ramifications. You mentioned sexual repression for young ladies in Mormonism. Looking back in retrospect, do you feel that there was a great deal of sexual repression for Peter as well?
Oh, yes. I mean, don't get us wrong. We like sex.
Well, and that's an important thing. And that is, once again, a recurring theme among couples tonight.
But he wouldn't even undress in the same room as me for a couple years.
Our family was extremely modest. So,
really?
Except, you know, garments was okay, I guess.
Right, walking around in garments that were see-through.
I actually never enjoyed that because I had bad childhood memories.
Of your mother strolling through the living room. And, Mom!
No,
put
Mom was actually
on!
Mom was actually the super was super modest, but.
So, let's see. A person corrected me in my term. Apparently, the term is not dry humping; it's Levi loving. And the other comments for you are: they are very cute together, smart, and perfect.
We are perfect.
Yes.
We made it.
WPA mentions that she doesn't believe that sex exists for Mormons. I would beg to differ. I mean, obviously, there are generations of Mormons, so therefore it does exist. What advice would you give to a young man or young woman who's considering marriage as a Mormon, who currently is a Mormon? What advice would you give them?
Well, Mary, you're on the spot here. You've been given advice. I would say
Mary's marriage advice.
If you want to discuss it, I'm a therapist. You're welcome to come talk to me. But
okay, make a pitch. Go ahead. Give me the website.
I don't want to ruin my therapy by doing it online.
And I would just say that it would be really good to read something by The Joy of Sex or something, and read some stuff from outside of the church just about
The Joy of Sex.
I have.
Oh, okay.
I remember my introduction to that book at the tender age of 17. I was at my friend Jennifer's house, and she was reading it with a friend and showed me a pose which she referred to as breastage meets peenie. Anyway, okay, last bit of advice, last question for you. This is going to be archived on the net basically forever. So people watching live tonight or watching 10 years from now, what advice would you give for someone wanting to watch the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show? What do you think if there's one thing you could tell them, what would you want to tell them?
Ooh, tell them to come to our event. Give them a pitch.
You do that.
Oh, that's 10 years from now. Well, you know, we are very involved in activism, and we have a wonderful petition delivery coming up on November 4th, delivering a petition to the LDS Church.
And the petition is?
This petition is with LDSapology.org. Log on right now. You can watch a wonderful video from Will Swenson. You may remember him from such hit movies as The Singles Ward. And we are asking the church to change their harming and dangerous policies on homosexuality and end the suffering of a lot of people. So.
Okay, thank you, Peter. And Mary, if you want to take 30 seconds and give one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would just say be yourself. I think that as Mormons, a lot of times, I know I couldn't be myself. And I would just say be yourself, whoever that is, whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, whether you're wild or calm, just be yourself. It'll work out.
Thanks, guys. This actually went a whole lot longer than the typical 1 or 2 minute format of interviews that I did, but I want to say I really appreciate you taking a few moments and covering topics that in your dreams you would not be covering tomorrow in front of everybody. We really appreciate your time. Mary and Peter, thanks so much for participating in the X-Mormon Foundation post-game show. Enjoy the hospitality suite. Thanks for letting me derail you. All right. Oh, I was about to say I'm going to go on the prowl, but we are live and taping. So it looks like we actually have a volunteer for the hot seat. We currently have 33 people watching. You bet. Now, because you're not a couple, I may limit you to about 5 minutes or so. Oh, I'm sure you have a pair. All right. So sit back, relax in the chair. So the two questions we lead off this with every one of these interviews in the X-Mormon Foundation post-game show, the thing I've been wanting to do for 5 years and just haven't done because I haven't had the testigos to do it. Who are you and why are you here? Let me rephrase, not why are you here. How did you get here?
On a plane. Next question.
Well, that was terrifically easy. Who are you, though?
My name is Tom Donofrio.
Okay, so Tom Donofrio. Now, a lot of people, I think, might recognize that name. Where would they recognize this from?
Milk carton or the post office. Other than that, Craig Criddle spoke today, and I'm very grateful.
He's horrible.
One, two, three, start over.
Okay.
Craig Criddle spoke today about his paper through Stanford. In that paper, I'm referenced in the footnotes. Craig and I have known each other for some time. He honored me today with a little bit of reference to my work in his speech. I recommend it to all who are online and who will be listening.
Okay, and what was the work again? Sorry?
What was that?
What was the work you were referring to you recommended?
Well, Criddle's work is the Jocker's study on word print analysis of the Book of Mormon through Stanford Linguistics. And in that study, they crunch patterns of most likely authors. Turns out most likely authors of sections of the Book of Mormon would be Rigdon or Spaulding.
Uh-huh.
And the reason he references my material is it's circumstantial evidence that there's heavy influence from the American Revolution in the war stories in the Book of Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And that would point to Spaulding. He would be the more likely source of those parallel verbiage in language.
So,
does any of that make sense?
You know, it kind of does. Unfortunately, I'm a bit fuzzy. I'm just a naturally shallow person. One of the things I'm most interested in, and I'm going to derail you a little bit from that, is I heard something about an altercation that occurred after Craig's talk today. Were you aware of this? And if so...
I witnessed it.
You witnessed it. Okay. So tell me a little bit about what actually went on, because this is the kind of exciting stuff that you don't see when you just watch the presentations.
Well, some fellow had his own agenda, and I'm not sure what the agenda
was. No, okay.
Was.
Describe the fellow for me, if you wouldn't mind.
He was somewhat taller, black beard, receding hairline, black hair.
And demeanor?
At first friendly, but then quickly turned into confrontation.
Okay, agitated and confrontational.
Agitation. And he left some writings behind, some printed material, that it's obvious he is a believer in the Book of Mormon. And he was welcome to come in. He paid his...
So he wasn't a gatecrasher then, is one of the questions there.
No, he had paid. So he earned his way in. Now, if it was worth the money he paid to have a few minutes to argue with Criddle, to me, I would have saved the money. But apparently it was worth it to him.
So what was the crux of his argument, and how would you debunk it or support it?
He was pretty rapid fire, and based on the brief things I remember, is he was just challenging the methodology of Criddle.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not, we're busy trying to get pictures taken, everybody's shaking hands, so there was no real time to debate this fellow and put him on the right track. So Craig just graciously said, well, you know, there's plenty of research out there. I'm sorry you don't agree. Basically, that's it. You know, I don't need to waste my time arguing with you over this issue.
So, Tom, one of the questions for you is, do you think there are any active Mormons here, and what have been their reactions that you've seen?
Like infiltrators, perhaps?
Infiltrators or people who are here and
well,
being
above
board.
Well, we gave them the garment feel up. That was the first.
Okay, so there's a garment feel right at the door.
And
okay.
If there's no garments, there's a pretty good chance. Well, unless they get an exemption from the bishop for a few hours of no garment wearing. Then as soon as they, like playing basketball. If they're playing with the Exmos, then they can go back 2 hours later, take a shower, and put their garments back on. So that maybe that was okay.
So the next question.
I don't think there was any other infiltrators, but I think this guy was a lone wolf. He wasn't operating under.
Do you believe in using the spirits to discern?
You mean the bottled spirits?
Yes, I believe that's the question.
In various places around the room. I think the bottled spirits had far more to do with it than any ethereal ones.
Okay, so a few comments for you from there. People want to say a cat fight.
People are actually typing things.
Yeah, they're typing things back at you right now. They're asking about the Ectomormons, obviously. Did they use the spirits to discern? Did he pay tithing on that money? I don't know which one. Oh, the tithing that... Would you have paid tithing to come into the conference? I don't think that's a question for you, Tom. Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious. We fill them up. Numlock wants to tell you hi from Westerville. And I don't know where Westerville is. Do you?
It's west of here, apparently.
Something like that. And Polygamy wants to say F yeah to everything you just said. So, Tom, we've been entirely too serious in this discussion so far. So I want to ask you a position. Sex before marriage, yes or no?
With you?
Not with me, no.
Turn off the camera. Well, I believe people, like anything, if you drive a car drunk, you pay consequences. If you have sex before marriage or sex in marriage or have children out of wedlock, children in wedlock, you accept responsibility for all of your actions. So whether or not people want to have gay marriage, straight marriage, three people getting married, sex before marriage, I say, don't send me the bill. You know, you make the if you get into trouble, no matter what it is, pre-marriage, after marriage, it doesn't matter. You get into trouble, you pay the bill. Don't send me the bill. That's
okay. So that sounds like personal accountability is a really big thing for you.
No, I'm just cheap.
Fair enough. So you personally, Levi Loving before marriage or no?
Levi Loving?
Yeah.
Well, a good pair of Levi's are hard to come by.
Don't want to put too much friction on. You might wear a hole in them. A
lot of double entendres here. You have to listen carefully.
So, Tom, are you currently married or in a relationship?
Yes, I'm married. My wife remains a member of the church, a believing member.
Okay, would you say she is a TBM?
Out of my respect for my wife, she would consider that a derogatory term. I don't believe that she would intentionally ever try to be offensive as a believer. As I would not try to be offensive as a non-believer in her, you know, to her. We've developed a relationship where she does her thing. She goes to church. That's her life. I do my thing. I come here. It's my life. And neither one of us have an agenda to change the other. And I believe that as long as that is established firmly, mutual respect, it can work. And it is working in our case.
Now, you've established quite a reputation in the ex-Mormon community, if I understand correctly, through your authorship of various works. What are those works again? Because you're not speaking this year.
Well, there's probably a reason I'm not speaking. They don't want me to speak anymore. generally speaking, there is verbiage in histories of the American Revolution that match verbiage in the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. And the reason it ties in with Priddle is because he's working on the Spalding issue, that if Spalding had authorship...
Get the microphone a little closer to your mouth.
If Spalding had authorship in the Book of Mormon, he also would have been the more likely source of these Revolutionary War sources because he himself was a veteran of the American Revolution, and he was well-read. And if we analyze his one existing Oberlin manuscript, there's heavy borrowing in there of a prose from Mercy Otis Warren, who is a historian of the Revolution in 1805. She had a three-volume edition. And Spalding uses some very specific flowery language that she was fond of. And it's more likely he was trying to ride on her coattails as an author. She was very refined. She wrote poetry, plays, histories, and as he was constructing his Oberlin manuscript, what we call the Oberlin manuscript, there's terms like she'll say copper-colored tribe to refer to the American Indians. He uses the same copper-colored tribe and various poetic phrases like that.
Now, Tom, I'm going to get you off of the more in-depth things because I feared due to the nature of audience, I'm getting a glazed, okay. So glazed look in my eyes. So really my questions tonight really are dealing much more with relationships and people. So
I want to talk about what I want to talk
about. I know. Well, with the Book of Mormon Tories, which I believe is the article that you wrote, right?
Yes.
How has your authorship in the ex-Mormon community affected your relationship with, first, your wife, secondarily, surrounding family,
well,
and third, friends?
My wife's thoroughly aware of it. I do not know what her extended family knows of it because they never approach me. I don't approach them. They don't approach me. Everybody's happy. I would not want them trying to shove ensigns under my nose, and I don't go up to them with my stuff and say, look at this.
So basically live and let live very much
exactly.
within your family.
If somebody is willing to come to me, let's talk.
Right on. So, okay, 30 seconds. If you had any advice for someone who's watching this tonight or 10 years from now on the archive, what would your advice be for that person?
More specific question.
Okay, let's assume they're watching an ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show, meaning they've watched a lot of these things, which
means
they're...
they have no life. They're watching other people have no life. So
absolutely.
We're all in this together.
So people who have no life,
yes.
who may be questioning the church, what would, if you could offer one piece of advice for someone in that position, what would it be?
Don't let your guilt be their weapon, because often, when especially if people are really bought into the church, and they fear things because you are leaving the church, often it's because you are creating something they have to deal with. And so rather than think of it in terms of, if they're saying we want you to come back for your benefit, that's not the case. They want you to come back for their benefit because you're making them uncomfortable. So when you begin to see this going on, you need to place back in the lap of the person the problem where it belongs. If this person has a problem with you leaving the church, that is not your problem. You need to give them back their problem. When they say, I'm sad because you left the church.
But it's still their ownership.
That is your problem.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do to make you not sad anymore? Pretend, go back to church, put on a happy face. That's not my job. I give you responsibility for your buy-in of Mormonism. If Mormonism is making you miserable because I left, that is what you get for buying the product. You're getting what you paid for. So now live with it. Take the product back to the manager, you know, get your money back. Whatever it takes, I am not here to fix your Mormon problem of you being sad because I left Mormonism.
Well, hey, thank you so much for your time,
thank
Tom.
You.
This went on much longer than I expected, but I appreciate you taking a few moments to address the guys on the internet. You have a good night, bud. All right, so here I am. Once again, I'm Matt B. with the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show, cruising around looking for people willing to show up on camera and spout off at strangers. So, hi, you look like a likely candidate. Would you be interested in showing up on camera on the Ex-Mormon Foundation? No. Off camera, maybe.
No.
Alas, you know, the trip to the hospitality suite seems... Well, hey, what about over here? Would you be interested in showing up on the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show? Absolutely. Then that's the perfect reason to come on over and have a little something to say to people who have nothing better to do with their lives. Ah, darn it. Okay. All right. Absolutely. You can make an ass of yourself. Perfect. So this is the hot seat. Sit back, relax. Have a... Where are you? Well, you know what? We're only going to take 2 or 3 minutes or however long you want. Don't let me keep you longer than you want. So here we are on the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show, and it's just where I always start off with two questions. Who are you, and how did you get here tonight?
Kelly Jean.
So your name's Kelly Jean, and how did you end up here?
Tonight?
Or in general?
Long story short, I left when I was 19. I was at Utah State, and it wasn't any doctrinal kind of thing. What am I looking at? Oh, that thing?
Yeah, that's...
I don't know, I was in the drama department, and there was, it was red wine and sex, and I left. And my family was appalled, and I was kind of shunned and all that for a long time. But
due to red wine and sex?
Because of red wine and sex, yeah.
Yeah.
I went on with my life. It was kind of a twisty, bumpy ride for a while. 20 years later...
Now, you say twisty and bumpy as if you're very affectionate towards those words. Is that correct?
I value my experience.
the twisty, bumpy experience. Now, is there any portion?
Not all of it, but I mean, it all has some kind of meaning, and I learned lessons along
so
the way.
So if you were to choose a high point in your twisty, bumpy experience, and I just love how you say that for some reason, the two words together, what would you say the high point of that twisty, bumpy experience was, and perhaps the low?
Oh, that's a really hard question. But I do remember being really, really lonely at one point. And at the same time as being so lonely, I had a dream about my grandmother came to me in my dream, my grandmother Naomi. And it was like Sleeping Beauty, mm-hmm. going up the keep, and the three fairies were there, you know, fuchsia, you know, blue and pink, whatever their colors were. Oh, chartreuse, right. And going up to the keep, and there's my grandma in my old brass bed.
Uh-huh.
That I used to have, and lying there, frail and old. She had already passed away. And she held out her arms to me, and I laid down in the bed next to her, and she held me in her skinny arms, and she said to me something to the effect that there's a place in my heart so deep from which you can drink when you're lonely. And I woke from that dream, and I have never forgotten that, you know. Knowing, you know, and she was a Mormon woman, but she was also sort of an apostate also.
Uh-huh.
I come from a long line of apostates, and there was some abuse in her history, and there was abuse in my history, and there's kind of a generational history of physical abuse and emotional abuse. Anyway, so, and that's what I would say is a high and the low point, because the high of it now means a lot to me, because there's issues there that I'm interested in exploring and writing about.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I found this website, exmormon.org.
Oh, yeah. And the rest is history.
Yeah, like 1997, I found this website and started chatting on the Chattanooga site, and went to the second ex-Mormon conference in Las Vegas in 1998, where Chuck Larson presented his book he had just written on these papyrus book, whatever it is. And here I didn't see him. I didn't really talk to him today because I just came for today.
I came
for the movie, which was perfect.
It was quite
temple.
Profound, yes.
It was profound, yes, but it was perfect. Perfect.
So I've got to get us off the serious topics, though, Kelly Jean, because due to the nature of our audience, we have to ask some other questions. So the first question is from the audience. Dry humping, you are in favor of or you do not enjoy?
It's been a long time, but, you know, in the beginning it was great when I was not engaged in wet humping. Dry humping is great.
And right on. And we've covered that question, I think, with almost every guest here recently.
These are all like...
These are real-life people asking us questions. So, yeah, they're talking about, let's see, red wine. That one's just somebody being foul. Okay, so I'm going to ask you the question I'm asking everybody else, and I think I'm going to wrap up because it's about time for me to head home to my lovely wife.
Did I talk too much?
Actually, not at all. I appreciate it. But if you here you are with an opportunity to speak to people not only tonight live, but to speak to people on an archive available on the Internet 10 years from now. If you would offer any advice to someone who sat through these sessions at this ex-Mormon conference and is now watching this and feeling the experiences of other people who have left, random people that have been willing to come up and sit in this hot seat, what would your advice be to that person who's questioning?
Who's questioning?
Uh-huh.
Go with it. Ask the questions. Ask lots of questions. Don't be afraid. Have courage. And go through with it. And then pay it forward.
Pay it forward.
Because come back to the next conference and get more strength. And when you have that strength and you're moving on with your life, pay it forward.
Well, thank you, Kelly Jean. I appreciate your time. All right, guys, I just got a text message from my wife telling me it is time to come home. So I've really appreciated you being here tonight for the Ex-Mormon Foundation post-game show. Once again, my name is Matt B. I've been your host for tonight. I've had a series of wonderful guests who've been able to share something with you. And I hope you guys have picked up something from it. We're wrapping up live. This is going to be archived. You can check it out anytime. Remember the websites, exmormon.org, exmormonfoundation.org, and postmormon.org. Thank you so much. And yes, polygamy, to answer your question, yes, my wife is a TBM. And I will tell my dear wife, thanks for loaning me to you. Good night. Be good. If you can't be good, be careful. If you can't be careful, name it after me.